CliffCentral.com. Live Thursday morning. Good morning. Start the 6 o'clock. I hope you're off to a good start today and that no one is screwing up your otherwise excellent out of the starting blocks race this morning. That's what you're looking for. What have you achieved? And it's only just after 6 o'clock. What have you achieved?
Is it a good morning, Gareth?
Well, I don't know. I saw Sia sitting in his office when I came in this morning.
What was he looking like?
He looked like he was wearing his hoodie. He looked miserable. He looked like somebody who'd just gone through, I don't know, some kind
trauma.
Of, yeah, like you'd been through the wars and it was only the beginning of your day. This is why I bring this up.
Okay, let's go. Let's do it.
What's happened?
Full
what
admission.
Happened, Sia? Come on, talk to us.
Google's my favorite person in this room this morning.
Oh,
and that
thanks.
Says a lot.
Sure. Really?
Mbulelo Gareth, you guys are in the dog box. I'm pissed at you two.
Why? What happened?
To the highest level of pestivity.
What is it? Go on.
Have been well acquainted with my loo for the past 8 hours because of following your peer pressure.
What do you mean?
He's got the shits.
Why, Sia? What did you eat that you weren't meant to...
That I wasn't meant to eat, but then I thought, let me not complain. Let me not be the stereotype that Mbulelo and Gareth were complaining about.
What are you talking about?
Oh, let's backtrack.
What did you guys eat when you guys went out together?
A friend of mine was part of the team launching a new restaurant last night, and it's a Portuguese-styled restaurant, and... Maybe the onus and fault is also on me because...
Maybe all of it's on
no,
you.
No.
Hold you down and force anything down your throat, did we?
So I assume she knows I'm vegetarian, so I don't have to tell her this. But it's only when I got to the restaurant and it's an amazing
By
restaurant.
By the way, for Portuguese people, vegetarian means chicken and fish.
Yeah. Ah.
Like everything is roasted on a spit something.
It's steak.
Oh, yeah. So... It only dawned on me when starters were served, and starters were like this chorizo, and there's sardines, and there's chicken livers, when I thought, oh, shucks. All right, okay. So clearly the vegetarian note didn't get to anyone. Mm-hmm. But then I started thinking about how you and Mbulelo made a whole thing of it yesterday, and I've always been looked at as, you know, the red-headed stepchild when it came to my food preferences. So I thought, you know, let me not be that person. Let me try to be like everyone else, the bourgeoisie, as the people of my future former ex-husband would say. So I thought, let me blend in and let me not complain, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Fine.
I thought, you know, by the time mains roll out, I'll be able to pick at sides. You know, like I'm sure there's a side salad or something that'll be enough for me. But then the staff there start noticing that I'm not eating much. And they come up to me and they're very attentive, and I try to just diffuse the situation going, really, everyone, I'm okay, but you know, I'm vegetarian. I'm sorry you guys didn't know about this. And they go, no, then it's fine. We're going to make something for you.
But are you looking green and around the gills? Or I mean, what's the problem here? Because I don't understand.
Mains roll out and they made me this massive chickpea curry. Mm-hmm. Chickpea already isn't my favorite thing in the world to eat. But you realize as well, chickpea has tons and tons of fiber. So I'm like spooning this up, not wanting to be rude. But by the time I got home, it was a disaster. So I hate to bring up this conversation now, but I had a bowel movement when I got home. And I thought,
it's just revolting.
It is, right?
Okay, is this it? Like, really, I was like sweating in the pits of things.
How hot was that curry?
It wasn't the curry itself. It was the chickpea.
Yeah.
It was the fiber content in there. Yeah. Okay, I need to take my headphones off.
Because it sounds like you.
I think the worst is over. And I go to bed. And I am woken at like 1:40 a.m. by this like proper rumbling down
your stomach's talking to you.
It wasn't talking to me. It was, you know, like screaming at this point.
A lot of our listeners say we're very lavatorial on the show. I can kind of understand this.
And you
now.
Know what?
I'm honest.
I'm never one to bring up these topics.
No, you don't.
I hate talking about this.
You gave Damon a hard time yesterday.
Right now, I'm like, screw it. I want you guys to know what sort of pain and torture
all right,
I'm in.
But now, this is the part I don't understand. How the hell are we responsible for this? How is it my fault or anyone else's fault? Is this because you're still feeling a little touchy about the discussion we had with regard to Absolutely. Your dietary preferences yesterday? So this is somehow our fault.
Somehow.
It's incredible because...
Part of it.
You've... And, you know, having met you is you're such a competent person. I would think ordering a meal for you would just be rudimentary.
Yeah, right.
Now I'm involved somehow.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. I'm a tax-paying citizen, and I've got a mother and sister who give me a hard time all the time. I've got my own problems, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, like, Gareth, what world are we in?
This is not my world of problems. This is a C.S. Sangweni problem.
By the time I had to wake up again at 3 a.m., I was certain I now need to carve a voodoo doll
images. How many times in total in the last, 8 hours?
4 in total.
Are you safe in this office?
I don't know.
Are you going to pull a funny move on us?
Just know if I now say, like, I need to go to the post office, I'm going elsewhere. Because I do believe there should be a no bowel movement law implemented in working areas.
I'm with you on that.
I'm not doing it here.
See, no, except for emergencies. And your case would be an emergency.
Absolutely not. Next thing, you are hovering around the guy's Lou Gugu, especially you. Mm-hmm. You're checking to see what shoes I'm wearing right now so that you can look under just these ridiculous short doors that we have in the
loo.
This
is one of the reasons I really like having Gugu around is he is like the toilet detective.
I know he will mark this day in the calendar and always
He checked CS shoes now. So
I don't want to. I'm just having a shitty day.
Yeah, well, literally.
All right, that's all good and well. And I'm sorry to hear it, Sia, because that's an awful thing for anyone to have to go through. But it's still not our fault. And we can't be blamed for this problem that you're having.
Too late.
Sorry. No. It's not our problem. It's really not. So I wish you well trying to conquer this deep personal issue that you're having at the moment. But it's not our problem.
I don't even feel ashamed.
I don't know what else needs to be said or done. I'm just going to have a pity party today.
Well, you go ahead, but it is certainly not our problem.
No sympathy?
Nothing.
I've never felt less sympathy, actually. Here I was thinking, see, you're such a great guy.
Oh, you've gone down the rankings.
You are such a great... And then I'm just
you
like...
You have gone down the rankings in my book.
Maybe there's something wrong with me now. You've made me think, I'm the victim here. Now I'm having an existential crisis.
No. Don't get caught up in this. This is what you call a transfer of blame.
It is.
And it's got nothing to do with it. Anyway, so I'm sorry, Sia.
So my friend has messaged me this morning going, did you enjoy last night? I'm like, but it was great. It's not their fault.
This is your problem. You decided to ingest a bunch of stuff that your system is not used to. First of all. Second of all, this restaurant, you should have known going to a Portuguese place is opening. You should have either eaten before, because you eat horrendous food. You eat
there
lots of takeaways.
There was so much meat there.
Yeah.
So
for
much
me,
meat.
That's heaven.
It is.
Ooh. Right?
Right?
Yeah.
I've never seen like one range of meat, like chicken served in so many ways. Chicken for the starter, chicken for the mains, chicken wings, chicken like chopped up into salads. There was so much meat everywhere. I was surprised there wasn't like dessert with chicken sprinkles on it.
Right. Bulelo starts his day in a very productive sense. He doesn't mess around like the rest of us who we think we're having a busy day. And you know, I think maybe he's just trying to establish that he's a virtuous person at the moment, for all we know.
He
might be one of those people who's just like looking for social credit right now. I mean, that's certainly the impression
so
I get.
That's looking right now.
Yeah. And I hate people like that. So he goes for a run. Listen to this. Tells me at the coffee machine. Now it's raining in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
He says to me at the coffee machine, I went for a run this morning and in the rain. I don't know if he wants me to turn around and go, holy Lord, please teach us how your spectacularly virtuous ways can be transferred to us. So we've got two people with, I think, slight psychological problems in the studio this morning.
Who's the second one?
You, who blame people for your bowel movements as if anyone else is responsible for that.
and then Bulelo, who seems to think that we must
psychological problems.
That we must all imitate his superior humanity by going for
He tells me you walked. I'm like, dude, it's raining outside.
No, no.
It's like, I walked to work. I'm like, you know, why don't you take an Uber?
It's like those people who go on TV and they're like, I have been poor and have dealt with poverty my whole life. We have never had running water and electricity, and now this government is not giving to us what we deserve and what we were promised. And we must all go, where? With them. It's just nonsense.
What time do you wake up, Mbulel?
3:30.
Oh my God.
What?
What for?
Did you
say footsack?
What?
No, he's right. Footsack.
Footsack.
Why do you wake up at 3:30 if you only have to be here at 6?
Because then if I don't wake up at that time, when am I going to train?
But you don't have 17 other jobs at the moment.
No, I do not.
You can't go in the afternoons like I do or like Gugu does?
Like I do.
No, I train in the afternoon as well.
Right. I forgot that you're a superhero.
When we train, you train. When we sleep, you train. Okay.
This is again meant to make us feel like we're not as good.
Yeah.
See, this is
we're
what
not
people,
good enough.
And by the way, this is what people do in friendships and relationships and work situations. They one up each other. We are watching this happen live this morning.
6:18.
Bulelo, we're not really interested in your answer. Go and get the air control remote for me so I can turn on the air conditioner. Thank you very much.
3:30 a.m.
Dude.
Oh, that is not me at all.
We're like in our third dream or something at that point.
All right, here's Color who says, morning guys, I'm on a flight to Cape Town, so I'm going to miss the show live today, but I have a pet peeve which I hope you can help me with. When you're in a really long queue at the airport and everyone is flying at 6, why is it that there are always people who think their time is more valuable and decide to push past the whole row? We've all seen this happen, right? We've had one guy who is now sitting in the row in front of me, and he chased through with total disregard of everyone. He's on the same flight as Kala.
Oh, if you're on the same flight, then no.
The other question is, how should you handle them? I wanted to scream something but decided not to because I would have sounded like an angry white person, but this madness needs to be stopped. Now, I don't get this either. I'm totally confused as to why it is that if someone else has been, I don't know, maybe they didn't wake up early enough to get to the airport so they didn't miss their flight. Maybe they think that they're more important. I have often been late for a flight due to my own fault some of the time, not my fault some of the other times. You can't push through other people in the queue. I don't think I'm more important. And if you've ever seen me do that, call in now and report me, because I know for a fact I don't do it. So who are these people who, just because they are late, feel that they need to get ahead of everyone else who's on the same flight as they are? It's bizarre.
It's so stupid.
Very
as well.
Weird. Very weird behavior. I don't know, Carla. I honestly don't know.
Huh. I've tended to now calm down a bit and be more sympathetic towards people who might not be on the same flight with me, because like, oh, you know what, we're all human. Maybe you did wake up late, but maybe you're late of no reason of your own, so yeah, you might just be rushing to make your flight. But if we're on the same flight,
dude,
I group those people as the same people as well on a flight who are rushing to stand up
we're
still taxiing towards the gate and the plane hasn't stopped. It's like, where are you rushing off to,
dude?
Because we're still all together. They're only going to open the doors for all of us at the same time. Like, where do you think you're going?
Yeah, nobody's going to rush ahead of you, get off the plane while it's still taxiing.
As soon as the wheels touch down, they're up.
I mean, sometimes I've even seen the cabin crew telling people, please sit down. Because the plane hasn't even ground to a halt yet. And they're already getting up to get ahead of everyone else. Listen. This is stupid behavior, and I wish we had an explanation for it, but maybe there's a psychologist who can help us understand what's wrong with people.
Well, you're just rushing to get onto the same flight. Like, is there...
Or as soon as the boarding gates open,
oh my God,
everyone is in a queue. It's like, I just chill and wait. I'll be the last one in. I mean, the flight's going to the same place.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get left behind. I've checked in.
Exactly.
Dude.
Stupid.
It is a dumb.
Stupid.
All right, so that's the first message from Color this morning. We've got a bunch of other people who want to know what's going on. There's a lot of commentary on Damon, someone who really enjoyed Damon's Oprah rant yesterday because they're used to hearing only Sia on the show, and Sia, of course, only has nice things to say about Oprah. Damon had some horrible things to say about Oprah yesterday.
That Mbulelo echoes as well.
I'm not big on Oprah.
You're not a big Oprah fan?
I'm a big fan of what she's done, but it's getting, yeah.
Well, you know, I begrudgingly have had to learn to say nice things about her because she has achieved tremendous success in her life. It's more or less along the lines of what you and Damon think. But I'm not a fan of hers like Sia is. I have to respect the incredible success that she's had. I have to echo the sentiments of people who are blown away by the fact that this woman has done so much in her life, and she's done a lot of good for other people too. More than any of us sitting here talking about her.
Yeah.
But I don't care if you grow your own organic vegetables, and I'm not interested in making people cry on the sofa when you interview them and all that, and housefrau's giving them free cars every Christmas, and like, that's not my idea of a tremendous breakthrough person that I'm desperate to sit and meet.
Like, people reach that point where they leave Earth. I think when she got the O channel going, she started to be one of those, I'm over there, and I think let them eat cake. She's getting a let them eat cake vibe.
Well, I still believe that if Oprah Winfrey ran for president right now on the Democratic ticket, she'd win. I really think so. Like, she's extremely popular, and she's popular across the board. She's not just popular with housefraus and, you know, white women who sit at home every day watching TV. She's popular with a lot of people in America, and there are a lot of people who regard Oprah very highly. And I think that she could do, she may even have a political career ahead of her. Who knows? She keeps saying she's not interested. Mm. But I don't know. I'm just not a fan like Sia. It's hard to be a fan like Sia. There only are a couple of thousand people who are that fanatical about anything.
Did you know she's in the country right now?
She is?
Yeah.
Is that why she's in my consciousness? It's weird.
Maybe. Yeah, she just had her school graduation yesterday. Oh. So
I saw her dancing with the girls there in a video on social media.
Very nice.
And I know where she's staying.
Oh, of course you do. You creep.
Oh, damn. Oh, creep.
Is she with Gail?
Gail's daughter's here.
Oh, my goodness.
But Gail isn't, yeah.
Okay.
I've actually escalated in terms of like
stalkery.
Her network. Yeah. And yeah, I'll call it stalkery as well. Her makeup artist and I follow each other on social media. So like, I was chatting to him last night. No.
Is that how you found out where she's staying?
Yesterday early morning. Yeah, I deduced it from what he was saying. He's like, like this place. I'm like, this place? That only means in the vicinity there's this hotel. So I thought, are you staying at that? And they said yes. I'm like, bingo.
That's so creepy.
It is. What is it about Oprah you like so much? Have you ever talked about this?
I don't want to talk about
it. Yeah, it will become
let's not
go a 3-hour long conversation.
That's not interesting. All right. Today we've got the Burning Platform. Kanthan Pillay will be joining us. And last week we had him on Skype. A lot of people very unhappy that he wasn't here to say outrageous things about the current goings on in South African politics and in society and in the economy. So today we'll talk about, among other things, the new Joburg mayor, who's the ANC's Jeff Makubo, who has a reputation.
Yeah, I saw as soon as his name was announced, there was this flood of conversation around his corruption or alleged corruption. And then I instantly saw the DA go on about, they called it a sad day that the ANC has now taken up office in Johannesburg.
It is a sad day when the DA think that we're sad about something like this. Most people are trying to live their lives. They couldn't give a shit about Jeff Makubo or Herman Mashaba or whoever else. Who was that dude who we were meant to speak to last week, but he was too busy?
Also, the DA.
Yeah, well, guess what? If we wanted to call him today, he's got a lot of time. And guess what? We're not going to be calling him today because he doesn't matter again. He's disappeared into the political ether and no one's interested in talking to him. What was his name? Oh, doesn't matter.
The DA actually don't want to talk now.
Of course they don't want to talk. What have they got to say?
Yeah.
A bunch of
losers.
Right.
And then the EFF always love chiming on about things as well. Well,
they're like the junkyard dog that doesn't know that nobody's listening to it barking.
So Floyd has said the newly elected mayor should not be trusted.
I love that people who stole from VBS Bank are telling us who should not be trusted. Mm-hmm. People who stole from the poor, the very constituency that they tell us that they want to help. Those are the people who say, these shouldn't be trusted, those shouldn't be trusted. I'm like, really? What a cheek.
Yeah, this
honest
is
to God, this
Jeff's
is just outrageous.
Official statement on the corruption talk during the rounds. He says, we have responded to those allegations. We were not fazed. It doesn't matter who would have stood. They, the EFF, would have thrown everything at him or her. The DA, of course, we called Herman Mashaba the poster boy of allegations. He said we stole 34 billion, but up to today, he hasn't proven us. What? Proven us having a single cent. So I'm not fazed. We are not. We are going to move forward. The ANC has confidence in us, and we will do our best to service the people of Johannesburg.
The ANC has confidence in us. Is that what he said?
That's yeah, I'm not understanding this quote in particular. Just, yeah, right. But he won by a landslide, 137 votes. The second person was the DA's Funzela Ngobeni, who got 103, and then the EFF's nomination Musa Novela only received 30. Mm.
So that, Floyd, I hate to break it to you, but confidence doesn't sound like how many.
30 votes.
30 votes.
As opposed to 137
winning votes.
Confidence
is 137 or more. And you guess what? I'm so sorry. You didn't get that.
Like you said, guys, most people are busy paying rent. For people to be saying, we should be sad. Like, I'm trying to pay my landlord at the end of the month, you freaking clowns.
But you can't be surprised. We were not expecting the EFF to go, congratulations, Jeff.
No.
All the best in office. That was not going to be the case.
But there's other stuff going on. There's plenty in the news this morning that you may want to turn our attention to. If there's something that you want to discuss, you know what to do. 0797482090. Okay, loads of messages pouring in all of a sudden. First things first. Good Lord, look at these messages. I don't know what's just happened.
Well, it's like flooded over there.
It's like everyone's just woken up all of a sudden. It's insanity. Or did our phone just switch on or off? I don't know. I mean, like, this is crazy.
Oh, goodness.
Look at this. It's refreshing at a rate that I can't even figure out what's going on.
Yeah, that's
all right,
tick.
Forget
that's
about that. Tick, tick. We'll get to the machine in a second. It's like suddenly Jesus Christ has come down from heaven and decided to tell all his followers to message us.
To message you.
This is the place, by the way, where he's decided he'll make his triumphant return.
Oh, really?
Yeah, on cliffcentral.com. Who knew? This is the real reason I built this, everybody. I thought I'd share that with you.
For the third coming. People always say second coming. He already did a second coming.
That's so true.
It's the third coming.
That's a good point.
Mm.
Okay. A couple of stories that we need to pay attention to because it is 6:30. So first things first. Poor old Archbishop Desmond Tutu has been admitted to hospital for the treatment of a stubborn infection. He's been hospitalized several times over the past few years for the treatment of a similar condition. He's 88 years old. Mm. The last time he was seen publicly was to meet the Springboks, praising them for their Rugby World Cup victory. That was just a little while ago. The Nobel Peace Prize winner also urged the country to continue building on the momentum brought about by a win. And here from ENCA is Jeremy Maggs.
We've been reporting this evening the Archbishop Emeritus Desmond Tutu has been admitted to hospital, in fact, at the Milnerton Mediclinic in Cape Town.
I always wonder.
Oh, bless you.
I always wonder with Jeremy Maggs if he gets home to his wife, who's terrific, by the way. Her name is Anne.
Mm-hmm.
Gets home to her and he talks to her in that news voice. And I was wondering if you might be able to make me some tea. You know what I mean? He always sounds like he's always on. He's always doing that news thing. And I've sat in meetings and he takes his glasses and he kind of moves them down his nose. You know, Gareth, I'm never really sure if that's how he is all the time. And he may be. And I've known Jeremy for a while. But I can only imagine like his kids sometimes teasing him and saying, Dad, cut the news voice. It's, you know, that's
imagine
not going to
work. Imagine getting reprimanded in that voice.
I don't think. I think they're impervious to it.
Let's go live now to the mother city, Niklas Kallström-Matsäki.
Imagine if he goes, the problem with your results at the moment to one of his daughters is, let's go live to your report card, which I'm holding in my hand.
That's it.
Anyway, so here he is talking about...
He's chairperson of the Desmond and Leah Tutu Legacy Foundation and joins us on South Africa Tonight. Good evening to you. How is the Archbishop doing tonight?
Good evening.
How is he doing tonight?
Well, as you know, he is recovering after
Oh boy, that's a good spokesperson.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, a spokesperson who can't say anything.
That is ridiculous.
Mm. All right, well, that's the first thing you need to know this morning. The second thing you need to know is from ENCA as well. Bosasa's assets have been auctioned off. How do you like them apples?
Oh.
Remember Gavin Watson's company, Bosasa, involved in part of the state capture allegations, those outrageous claims made by a very fat man who used to work for Bosasa. What was his name again? Agrizi. The fat man who used to work there, who said that he had footage and he showed like video of Gavin Watson handing out just huge chunks of cash.
Angelo. Mm.
Angelo Agrizi. Mm. Thank you. I couldn't remember his first name either.
Ooh, that's anyway, his legacy, the fat man.
Apparently, he's enormously fat. He's a very, very fat man.
He's considerable.
Yeah. Bidding for the controversial company's assets kicked off on Wednesday morning. Up for grabs is the company's smart city campus, which is worth around $20 million. A fleet of vehicles, office furniture. Liquidators put the assets on auction to pay off the controversial company's debt. I wonder if anyone bought, like, Gavin Watson's desk. And now they're sitting in their office and, you know, maybe you sell, like, personal insurance or something. And people come into your office and they sit down and they go, hi, this is a nice office. And you go, yeah, well, actually,
Gavin.
This here desk is the late Gavin Watson's desk.
And late in inverted commas.
Here you can see the secret drawer in which he would hide government contracts and bribes. I'd like that. Wouldn't you like that? Something cheeky,
I hear you.
Watson, that you could put into your office.
Imagine
anyway,
just,
apparently they've only managed to get like 500,000 rand so far for his Porsche Cayenne.
Hmm.
Only 500 grand. Only that's 500 that's grand. Cheap, right?
Yeah.
I wonder if it was maybe...
Oh, it depends on which generation.
Sure. I don't think people will know that it was his car, but it doesn't matter in any case. Not a problem, said the winning bidder. Despite the high prices, some believe it was money well spent, but other more experienced auction buyers refused to take the bait, the sales going ahead despite the Watson family's attempt to declare it illegal.
And I don't think, even if people knew it was his car, it would be a good thing.
No.
Like, would you run to buy Gavin Watson's car?
And then this is a story which has certainly captured people's imagination because of the way that it's broken, and it's just another feather in the cap of podcasting, really. But the Willem Breitenbach Media 24 executive and teacher, who is going to appear in the Cape Town Magistrates Court on Thursday on a sex assault charge, was obviously outed in a podcast series produced by News 24, which a lot of people have been talking about. He was tracked down in Hartenbosch in the Southern Cape earlier this week. I've heard of this Hartenbosch place. I've never been there. I don't think you're allowed to go there if you're not Afrikaans.
Was it like Orania 2.0?
Well,
Orania Light.
I've heard only Afrikaans people speaking about it.
Mm.
I don't know where it is. I believe it's somewhere between Mossel Bay and George, maybe? And that's a part of the coastline. I've got to admit, I've never been down. My fault. Maybe I am allowed there. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't think so, though. I think if you go there and you don't speak Afrikaans, you have a tough time.
What type
you know,
of people
kind
go
of place
there?
Where you walk into a shop and you go, hi, sorry, how much is this? And they go, Afrikaans.
Yeah.
And then you have to go, jammer, hoeveel is hierdie? Of wat kost dit? And then they go, it's 50 rand. And you know when you talk to them in English and they answer you in Afrikaans?
Yeah.
And I'm not having a go at Afrikaans people, but there are still parts of South Africa where you cannot speak English or any other language because they look at you like you've got a disease of the brain.
You know, one thing, well, not to bash Afrikaans
that's why,
people.
That's where this guy was hiding out, Willem Breitenbach.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I feel like, well, I, as a South African, I know a bit of Afrikaans. And
sure.
I do try and accommodate where
sure,
I can.
Sure, of course, yeah. And then they just assume. I try with a little bit of Zulu where I can.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Kind of sure.
And then they just assume, like, I'm fully fledged Afrikaans. And then they start prodding at me. And I'm like,
It's going to happen.
Oh, man.
Always happens.
And then you get trapped.
Yeah, that's you get trapped.
That's happened to me in France. My French is rudimentary. But then when I start, then the accent's good, so they think, this guy can understand, and then I'm in shit. Anyway, so this guy was tracked down in the Southern Cape following a claim by Dion Wiggett that Breitenbach raped him 20 years ago. It's believed several more men will have come forward with similar claims and have opened cases with police. Breitenbach was nabbed and transported from his mother's home in the Southern Cape to Cape Town Police Station in handcuffs. Yeah, you see, I mean, some of these allegations go back to 1997.
Yes.
If you've behaved badly sexually, and I mean saying behaved badly is the softest possible touch you could give to this. If you've done things that are illegal, sexually considered illegal acts, it doesn't matter how many years have elapsed in between. Those things will come back and bite you. That is why if you have any choice in the matter, and everybody always does, try to behave yourself. Try to keep, especially, I'm obviously addressing men here more than women, but they're, you know, as we've seen in this Bishop's case, there are women also. Mm-hmm. If you're in a position of power and you use that power to try and get sex, which men have done for centuries and decades and millennia, so it's not new, just be aware that at some point, something's going to come and get you back. You cannot just do what you want. And this is proof of it. So that's going to court, and he's going to appear on sexual assault charges soon. We've got to keep an eye on that story as it develops. And then something from EWN this morning. 9 inmates who escaped from Springs Magistrates Court are still on the run. Police are searching for 9 awaiting trial prisoners who escaped from the Springs Magistrates Court on Wednesday. 4 of those escapees had made appearances in the dock on murder charges.
Oh, you don't want them running around.
Murderers who committed crimes in Guatemala in March. The other 5 are facing charges including theft, possession of drugs, and housebreaking. Police spokesperson Matapelo Peters said police are appealing for the public's assistance in locating these escapees. Yeah, so just like we found Willem Breitenbach, we've got to find these motherfuckers. And then finally, the U.S. is to name an ambassador to Sudan for the first time in 23 years. That's Mike Pompeo of the Secretary of State in the U.S. who said that they are waiting for Japan's prime minister prior to their talks at the official residence because they're stuck over there for all kinds of talks at the moment. But he did make a comment about how they're about to appoint their first ambassador to Sudan in 23 years. The two nations will proceed with an exchange of ambassadors. The decision is a meaningful step towards strengthening the U.S.-Sudan bilateral relationship. And it's interesting because those countries have had no real relationship for all of that time. And who knew that it would be the Trump administration that would reestablish
a connection
with Sudan? So it shows you, interesting stuff is happening in the world.
Well, talking about those, on the note of the prisoners who escaped, the Department of Correctional Services this week actually was speaking about the rise of classified unnatural deaths in prisons in South Africa. I was actually shocked by the number. I thought it would have been bigger, but I mean, maybe that's just the dramatic picture I have in my mind. But it's enough, though, still to make them want to put more attention on this. There have been 103 unnatural deaths in South African prisons this year alone.
Yeah.
And they say this is a major, major problem. As compared to 82 unnatural deaths in 2018 and 52 unnatural deaths in 2017.
Are these suicides? Or are they picking each other off?
That's it. So unnatural death to me, I assume.
There's all the compassion in the world from our friend Google.
Unnatural death.
Are they picking each other off?
I think they're
slightly. They're plums on a tree, are they?
It's like fighting.
That's so funny.
Gang warfare.
Well, at least it's happening in there.
Things like that. Yeah. If you look at the last 6 months alone, there have been 64 unnatural deaths.
Sure. That's quite a lot.
Well,
but compared to maybe as well, it's a little of ignorance because we haven't been to prison, or maybe, you know.
Maybe one of us has been to prison? Is that what you're insinuating, Sid?
Maybe. You never know. But
anybody here been to prison? Anybody want to admit that?
No hands going up in the room?
Anyone who's been to prison?
I have to be honest. In varsity, when I was in my wilder days, while I was younger,
what's going on?
Prison strong.
Story here, everybody.
Let's just say I was well liquored up. and we were in a car and we got caught, and then I started shouting at the police officer, and I did spend a night in a holding cell, and it was the worst night of my life ever.
Oh,
no, it was like, I can't imagine.
Did you tell your parents, or did you just quietly get out the next morning?
Gareth, if I told my mother.
Yeah, she'd never talk to you again.
No, I would not be here. She would have strangled me with her own hands.
Does your mother still not know today?
No. But I guess now she'll know. Because
she listens?
She certainly does now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Where do you see her again? Christmas is going to be great.
How exciting for you.
Yeah. So this is the way to break it to her, right? But it'll be diluted. Hopefully enough is happening in her life.
To keep her busy.
By the time I get there, this she's just, you know, happy to see my medium face.
Years after the fact.
Did anything interesting happen to you while you were in there for that one night?
You know what he's insinuating here, right? He thinks that you were raped in prison. Gugu always goes to the most revolting possible conclusion.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Gugu, that's not what happens in police holding cells.
No, I was in a holding cell. I slept. They gave me dry bread. And I've got to be honest, I did have a come to Jesus moment. Yeah. Even though I've never been.
It's a horrible thing, right?
Oh.
I was in a police cell as well when I was caught speeding. It was only about 3 hours or whatever, but you know, I sat in there, and luckily there was no one else for most of the time, and then there were two like really drunk people they brought in.
I think you two are lucky, because in varsity I had a roommate who was involved in a fight.
Yeah.
He beat the other dude up. Dude opens a case against him, and he gets picked up by the police, my roommate.
Oh, shucks.
So he's telling me the story. He got put in a cell with all these baddies, these dudes who are been there for months, and it's supposed to be a holding cell, in inverted commas. He says to me, that night, a dude came in for drunken driving into the cell, and they mowed the shit out of him.
Really?
They were saying that, you can drink excessively till you get drunk while we sit here and we can't even drink.
Oh,
we'll
wow.
Fuck you up. They beat him up for that.
Yeah, that's ugly. Wild.
Yeah?
That is ugly. Brutal. No, mine wasn't like that. I just, I had my overnight thing, and I had my come to Jesus. It was the worst night of my life. Comfortably.
Shucks. Google, to your question, this is what the Department of Correctional Services have said. Some of the stats are showing that the majority of these classified unnatural deaths have occurred because of suicides. And then there are also official on inmate deaths occurring, as well as inmate on inmate deaths. They also do note that overcrowding is definitely a problem in prisons in South Africa, and it leads to tons of problems within the facilities.
So all right, well, dog eat dog.
Here we go with some useful information for those people who, like me, don't know very much about the south coast of the Cape very, very well. I mean, I certainly don't know the geography of that area. Morning, guys. Second last week of work for most people. Jingle those bells, baby. Oh, my God, Gareth. Okay, Hartenbos is literally 5 minutes drive from Mossel Bay towards George. So at least we got the rough area right.
Yeah.
It's a beach retreat with multiple Atia Kafia buildings. That was the Afrikaans, the nationalist apartheid government built these Atia Kafia things. It was like
what does that mean?
I don't know what the acronym stands for. I think
Afrikaans,
it's
language, and culture association.
All right, So they built these buildings to put on like Stedfords and festivals and things like that. So they're obviously apartheid era buildings that they built. That is why it's so Afrikaans. Also, the majority of the Afrikaners there are from Pretoria. Yeah, you see, this is people I've met in Pretoria who tell me they go there for their holidays. Bura Bahamas is what they call it. Willem was actually found in Tarchnit, who is even further down the coast. What a shit name for a place. But still before George, this is the place where the face brick holiday houses are. Wow. Great information, Cassandra. Thank you so much for that. Isn't that interesting?
It is.
Their caravan park is run by the Atia Kafia, according to another message that we've just got here from Oki, who says it's 5 minutes out of Mossel Bay. Wow. Isn't that fascinating?
I still have never heard of it. Wow.
And this is from Eddie, who we shat on yesterday about the Gord comments. Eddie has to say this. He says, Gareth, I've seen you in Afrikaans interviews once a few years ago, and honestly, you speak Afrikaans very well, the same with Leanne. Yeah, look, I try to speak every language as well as I can. Afrikaanse taal en kultuur vereniging is what it is, Atia Kafia.
Okay. A society that aims to promote the Afrikaans language and culture.
There we go.
Okay.
Marissa has this to say about Kala's comment earlier about airports. I travel a crap load, says Marissa. Almost always with carry-on luggage. I book priority boarding because getting on the plane first means I'll have space for my luggage at my seat. In addition, I get up as soon as the seatbelt lights go off because by then I'm done sitting and in a confined space. Most importantly, I get up and start gathering my shit because I'm prone to leaving books, driver's licenses, and even expensive devices on the plane, never to be seen again. So I get up and I systematically and mindfully gather my stuff. A point to ponder, if, like you say, we're all getting on the same plane, what does it matter? Then someone rushes to the front, let that shit go.
No, I think she's surely kind of you can gather your stuff seated, which is what I do, and I think a lot of other people do.
Mm.
And once room is available for you to stand and start moving and not just stand there, you get up and you start moving and you grab your bag.
My worst is that the people who will grab their bag and then like let it fall on someone else because they're in such a hurry to get their luggage. Those people must be arrested.
This is why it's so important for people to play some sort of sport, Gareth. People don't know how to get off a bus.
Oh.
And one of the things that, one of the beauties of playing sport is they teach in school, they should teach everyone, even if you don't play sport, how to get off a bus. And then we wouldn't have this problem, but we don't, so we do. It's madness what she's saying. I'm sorry.
And what is a plane but a bus in the sky?
Dude, a bus with wings.
I believe that was Aristotle.
Did you read that on the back of a sugar sachet?
All right.
Like, calm down.
If I were at the airport with that guy, I would have been angry. I would have been the angry colored and I would have clapped. Useful from Anushka. She's an angry colored. And hey, Gareth, it's also like climbing the stairs when boarding a flight. People behind you always expect you to be sniffing the person's ass in front of you. I always take three steps back. Well, this is something that used to bother me a lot, but now I've maybe just become conditioned to it. But the idea of personal space in queues at ATMs, when you're paying for stuff at the supermarket, people come right up behind you and they're like
and
breathing down your neck.
And nudge you with their fucking trolley.
Yeah. But I used to get upset about this, but really there are more important fish to fry.
You know what the thing is? I was going to say it earlier, Gareth, is in South Africa, because there is a natural inclination to speak louder, and I'm closer, so we are the loudest are of the loud. Yeah, the of loudest. The
And those clicks, people people immediately associate them with violence.
So,
is that the hammer going back?
But with my people, my only issue is, We're so bad at queuing already.
Just hang on, before you claim them as your people, because yesterday we had a bunch of people saying, you're not a full Xhosa man because you didn't go to the mountains.
Take that back.
Yeah, so actually just be very careful. Mbolelo, I don't know who you think you are. Speaking on behalf of the Xhosa nation. I didn't see you at King Skau's funeral either.
I was busy that day. I was on a trail run.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all up in your grill and then they're already loud. So it's like, what's going on here? Do I have any human rights?
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be that close. The cash register doesn't move further away.
You know, also you've got to realize, like, some people didn't grow up with a lot of personal space. They had to share a room, share a bed, share all kinds of things. And therefore, their idea of a personal space bubble is different to yours.
That's very that makes sense, actually.
Never
thought about it that way.
It isn't about being superior or inferior. Mm. I shared a bedroom with my brother for the first 14 years of my life. We had like bunk beds in a small room together, and you learn to share personal space. And when you're getting ready for school in the mornings, it's all of the kids using the bathroom at the same time, and you kind of, you know, your personal space is not a big issue to you. And then later on, when you eventually have more space to yourself, you become a little bit, I always think of it as an actual bubble that expands and contracts. The more you're around people, the less you can expand your bubble. When I'm at home, my bubble's huge. I don't have anyone living at home with me, but when I have to use public bathrooms or I'm standing in a queue or whatever, it just has to shrink. Ooh. So it can't always stay like 3 meters around you.
You're very nice about it.
Oh, he's mature about it, actually.
Well, it used to be a big issue, but you sound like such an idiot when you complain about shit like that. Because honestly, what, you think the planet's just about you? You think the roads are just yours? You think everything is just me? It's kind of stupid.
Tis the season to be jolly, and tis the season to have your ankles nicked.
Yeah, you just get used to it.
By trolleys.
And I know, listen, my sister-in-law, we were all doing the Christmas tree at my parents' house yesterday with you know, their kids, and the kids love it. It's the most exciting day for them. And they were running around and very excited. My sister-in-law tells me she went out and shopped on Black Friday. I said to her, are you insane? She said, no, she got bargains on this, bargains on that, bargains on the other. She made a good case. But I felt pretty stupid because I thought, here we were talking about all these people who go out shopping on Black Friday and saying how stupid and crazy they are. And here's my sister-in-law, one of them. So she was out there with the hordes. With
guilty masses. By association.
If it was worth it for her, then okay.
Here's some more information about this very little-known Southern Cape that we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. The area of the Southern Cape is really not for English-speaking people. There is a bit of a force field around that place, repelling non-Afrikaans speakers. The Atiekafia designed those holiday resorts to make to look like institutions. And again, really not for non-Afrikaans speakers. The sea is pretty cold there anyway. They can have those areas, says Robin. You know, when we say they can have those areas, it sounds a lot like the old government and black people.
There's actually a place called Boeteville. I don't know if you've heard of it.
It's in the Free State.
Yeah, I think so. I've been there twice, dude, and it's exactly the same.
Boeteville.
Boeteville. Really? Just Afrikaans people. The only vehicle you see there is a bakkie. Nothing else. It's like a
What were you doing there?
So they have like this annual thing.
He was infiltrating.
Infiltrating, yeah, spy.
I'm trying to
figure out. Espionage.
It's like it's an annual gathering, man. Farmers and agricultural vehicles. It's called NAMPU.
Oh.
Have you heard of it?
You went to a farm?
Yeah.
You went to a farm expo.
And Nissan is there too. It is there with their bakkies, because obviously the market there is just bakkies and trucks. And
but dude, do you know how much money changes hands at that thing?
They land their own planes.
They buy combine harvesters.
Yeah, they're huge, those things.
They buy huge silos, machinery.
There's airstrips there for those dudes to land, buy their shit.
I'll tell you what,
and take
you get some oak in like khaki shorts who's pink from the sun, and he walks in there like an old dude, and he'll walk in there with a checkbook, not credit card. He'll walk in with a checkbook, and he'll sign a 6-7 figure check for equipment, and won't even think twice. Yeah, ek wil 3 van hy kry, 6 van hy, 1 van hy. And what they'll do is sometimes, jammer oom, kan ons gou vir die bank bel? Can we quickly call the bank? They'll phone the bank, and the bank will say, give that oak whatever the fuck he wants. He's got lots of collateral. Don't worry about him.
I promise you, people like that.
Dude, the first year I went there, which was 2 years ago, we flew in there, private jets, like all these dudes, and flew out. I promise you, there's like a couple of landing strips in this farming area. It's just crazy. It's insane.
Okay. I should be reconsidering.
You see, that's a good place to find a husband. Boer soek 'n man.
Even my parents are of this mindset. We have family friends, their friends, who have gone into farming, and we've only seen them twice in, 6 years? And we're like, okay, whenever you guys are back in the city, you can come and greet us, but we aren't going out there. There's a lot going on there that we aren't prepared for.
Vinny says, as we were landing in Joburg, after a 13-hour flight, some guy sitting on the seat in front of me let a fart go. It was so disgusting, I thought that person had shat his pants. It smelled that bad. I don't care if people rush past or over me, but farting on a plane is the most revolting fucking thing, says Vinny. Now, that type of person should go to jail. Well, if you think about it, you're trapped in a tube, and the air is circulating. And if you fart in there, what you're doing...
You're an asshole, actually.
Yeah. You're telling everyone else, you're going to have to breathe in my fart for 13 hours. And, of course, the lucky thing for you, Vinny, is he did this when you landed, so you were going to get out of the plane at that point, and you might not have been exposed to it for very long.
Should we at least say he should be grateful for that?
Well, he doesn't sound very grateful. He sounds pissed off.
Yeah, no.
Chin up, Vinny.
All right, coming up, The Burning Platform with Canthan Pillé. We'll check in on all the big stories, take your calls and your thoughts and your ideas around all the important stuff that's happening in current affairs. This is what you look forward to every week. It's brought to you by Nando's. CliffCentral.com.